good afternoon and welcome to Yellow Water Cruises. My name is Michael, I'll be your tour guide for the next 1.5 hours. Over to the right of us, we have a couple of white birds. They're called egrets. There are 4 different types of egret. There's the little egret, the cattle egret, the intermediate egret, and also the great egret. The difference between all 4 is the length and size of their necks. Now, these birds almost got hunted out to extinction in the early days because they get a light, delicate feather called a breeding plume. In front of their chest, at the base of their neck, also on the top of their wings, down near their tail feathers. The ladies used to like them as accessories in their hats in the early days, so over a number of years, their numbers drastically reduced, so they were put on the protected species list, and now they come up in their tens of thousands each year from larger breeding colonies further down south. Now we're on Yellow Waters at the moment. When it rains up on the escarpment, about 50 kilometres away towards Jabiru, it flows down into Jim Jim Falls and Jim Jim Creek, and Yellow Waters is located at the end of Jim Jim Creek River system. From here, the water flows down into the South Alligator River, which we'll get to in a few minutes' time, and then from there it travels out 100 kilometres and goes out into the Arafura Sea. When I talk about the local Aboriginal people today, we call them the Binning, or they prefer to be called the Binning. They call this area Nurunurukba, which means there's always a good hunting spot whenever they came down here for meetings, social gatherings, hunting, even ceremonies.
I'm Lee Williams from Hawkesbury area down near Sydney.
And highlights of the boat cruise so far?
Oh, look, I think you've just got to marvel at the expanse of these wetlands and the incredible number of different wildlife that are here and the numbers that each species is represented by here. So we've got crocs. That was a sea eagle just to grab something in the river. He didn't make it. It got away. There's crocs swimming across. There's crocs laying around in the shallows. There's crocs on the banks. We've got thousands of ducks of various varieties and cranes. It's just the most beautiful place.
Oh, look at that, folks. We've got a crocodile at front right-hand side of the boat at 1 o'clock with his mouth open, sitting up on the bank there. This is a saltwater crocodile. They can live between 70 and 100 years of age, just like us humans.
What's happening right now?
Oh, there's a huge great crocodile. I've got no idea of size, but it's the biggest one we've seen. And it's just gliding along beside the boat. And it's got it's looking at us. And you can see its teeth. Really is quite a majestic animal. Absolutely beautiful.
And he's coming pretty close to the boat.
Yeah, I'd say he's used to this because he's not at all frightened and he's not going away. Yeah. Quite often in situations like this you see them and they'll come and they'll go away. This one hasn't, it's hung around. So I'd say he might be the boss of the river and he's probably going to get royalties from the boat trip.
I'd say he is, he's waiting for payment.
Absolutely.
There?
Yeah. Yeah, see the sunlight?
On a good day, he'll eat his mother, his father, his brother, his sister, his uncle and his aunt. On a bad day, he might just happen to grab us. Now, the reason he's got his mouth open like that is when they sit in the sun all day, because they're cold-blooded animals, they have to regulate their body temperature. And so they're always going from the water to the land, from the sun to the shade. When they're sitting in the sun like that, they often overheat their brain, which sits right on top of their head, in between their eyes and their ears there, underneath the cranial plate. Now, when they overheat it, or when they sit in the sun all day, I should say, they overheat their brain. So instead of going back out into the water to cool their brain down, which in turn cools their whole body, which means they have to get back out in the sun again and sun themselves, they'll sit there like that with their mouth open and release any excess heat through their jaws. This one's not even worried about us. He's just lying there, more worried about sleep, and you can see his eyes opening and closing. He's just making sure that we're not going to go out there and try and skin him and make a pair of boots out of him.
From dancing brolgas to resident crocodiles, Yellow Water is one of the best places to observe the animal and bird life that live in the billabongs of Kakadu. But it's also in these waterways that one of the most sought-after species in the park live, the prized barramundi. People come from all over to experience the excitement of fishing for barramundi. And home billabong is one place where many a lure has been cast.
G'day, my name's Rod. I'm from Gold Coast, Queensland, and I'm down here on home billabong trying to catch a barramundi. Everyone fishes for barramundi up here. The idea here is to use lures, soft plastics, I believe, are the go. That's what I've got here. And they tell me it works. It hasn't worked for me yet. Cast it in, let it drop, wind it in, and then release. let it drop again. Apparently 9 times out of 10, the fish will strike on the drop.
So you're saying apparently a lot there.
Well, I haven't caught one yet. That's the reason why. But the guy who does the fishing charters, that's what he tells me. So I reckon I believe him. I've seen him cleaning them on the fish table in the caravan park. A bit heartbreaking, but they're catching up to 30 a day there, so...
Fantastic. And it is part of the attraction of coming up to Kakadu, the barramundi fishing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's everything, but yeah, the barramundi fishing is one of a kind, yeah.
And what is it about barramundi? Why do so many people want to come up here and catch the barra?
Well, they grow to a really good size, for starters. Good fighting fish, good size, good eating.
And you've brought your daughter down. Does she help out?
Yeah, she does. She usually throws a line. At the moment, she's keeping an eye out for the crocs. There's supposed to be a rather large one around here somewhere, so she's my spotter.
But barra aren't the only thing to eat around here. Buffalo, magpie goose, file snake and kangaroo are just some of the other food regularly eaten by Aboriginal people in the park. And Jenny Hunter is an expert chef when it comes to bush tucker.
So here we've got our gungari. This is our ground oven. With the ground oven, we cook mainly the buffalo, pig, emu, kangaroo, crocodile, you know, just all the big stuff. You might be able to put goose in here, but goose usually is more better when on the fire, on the hot coals. So mainly the big stuff on here, the little stuff, barramundi, magpie goose, our file snake, we cook on the normal coals and that. So barramundi as well. Our namangol we put on the hot coals. They might look horrible when they come out, but when you remove the scales, they've got that beautiful white meat. Also our gedjibeh, our file snake, we just get him and curl him up on the hot coals and eat him. He's one of my favourites. The largest turtle that we cook in here is our warajan in the ground oven because he's too big to cook on the open coals.
What are the different types of bush tucker that you get depending on what season it is?
Depending on the season, like the wet season is when all our fruits come out, like our andutmi, our anmalak, our apples as well, all our different kinds of apples, like our anjaruk, our red apple. At the moment, they've just finished, our anmalak have finished off now, they've all done. But now I'll probably go and get our yams, like our anginjek, our garabara, our long yams. We can also go out looking for our angung, our sugar bag, our wild honey. We go around looking for some bees, native bees, and then we can go and find our honey. These days we usually, we might go out as a family to go out and get all the food, especially the magpie goose. These days we always try and make it a family get together and going out all together. Maybe while we're waiting for the goose to be ready to fly over, we might, all ladies might go out and look for arumangi out in the mud. So we'll go out poking around in the mud, and what we look for, we might try and look for the mim, which is the breathing hole of the turtle, or we'll poke around in the mud, and as soon as you hear like a thump, that's the turtle in the mud. So we burrow down or dig down and try and pull him out.
Well, that's the end of our tour of the Yellowwater region. There's a lot to do in the area, but while you're here, be sure to stop by the Warrigan Aboriginal Cultural Centre. Its circular shape represents the pig-nosed turtle. If you're looking for walks to do in the area, the Yellowwater Walk takes you from Gagajoo Lodge down to the boat ramp at Yellowwater Billabong. There's also the Goongarden Walk that takes you through woodland. Our next stop is the spectacular Jim Jim Falls. We'll be taking a helicopter flight for some pretty incredible views of Kakadu and Arnhem Land, so I'll catch you in the air.